What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my co-host, John Kegley, two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, and this is our second with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. This is our first time really being able to go over the offseason plan for the Chargers. Last year, we got started a little bit late in the Locked On Chargers podcast. We didn't really have time to break down draft profiles and things of that nature with you guys. So this year, we are very excited to break down the tape. And on today's show, we have another three prospects that the Chargers could possibly take in the first round. So we're going to start with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson out of Florida, the safety slash cornerback. And then we're going to get into Dalton Risner, the offensive tackle out of Kansas State. And then we're going to end the show by talking about one of my favorite prospects I've watched so far, Jerry Tillery out of Notre Dame. So, John, let's get into it. The first guy I want to talk about here is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who I've seen linked to the Chargers a couple times. He seems to have a lot of hype surrounding him right now, and the Chargers obviously have a big hole at safety, so I see why people would make the connection between the Chargers and Gardner-Johnson. But at the same time, when I watched him, it's kind of hard to evaluate how good of a fit he would be for the Chargers, only because in most of 2018, he was playing up near the line of scrimmage out of the slot. And the last time I checked, the Chargers have a guy that's pretty good at playing in the box, playing close to the line of scrimmage, and being a very sure tackler. So what did you think about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson when you watched the tape on him?
I feel like he's not a guy that's really disciplined with how he reads and reacts. I feel like he falls for stuff a little bit too much sometimes. There are times where he will make a good play or make a smart read, but there's times where I feel like he uses his athleticism more than a fundamental or even a read, where he'll bite on a fake route that someone will make. Someone will watch film and know that he bites on a fake route or even bites on like a crossing pattern. He won't stay in his spot. He'll bite on it just because he anticipates an interception or a big hit. And I feel like that'd be something that would cost us. And plus, if we were to get him, I feel like we would use him like we do Adrian Phillips, just because I feel like that's what Gus Bradley would like with a guy that's like this, that's 5'11 with this kind of speed and tackling ability and can stop the run. I feel like he would be that kind of guy. So if we were to get him in the first round, you're basically getting another Adrian Phillips, even though in college he played really good in the slot.
Well, I can see how you would make that comparison, but really you would be drafting this guy to be your free safety. And in my opinion, I just don't think that's where he's best suited. I think when in 2017, when you actually saw him in some single high safety looks where he was the last line of defense, I think he made some splashy plays, but I also think that you saw the lack of his ability to tackle from that distance. In 2018, he was a very sure tackler, being up near the line of scrimmage and kind of closing down those angles and being able to fill gaps more easily to make tackles and to make big hits with less open space. And I understand why people are intrigued by him. I mean, he's a really good athlete. He has incredible range. You could see him having the range to play free safety because he has all the physical tools. He's very explosive. He lays big hits on people. He has the ability to, when he does make mistakes like you talked about, he is able to recover with his athleticism, which is something it's hard to translate because it's not that easy to do in the NFL. And he's pretty good at getting off blocks and making plays. So I could see why when you have a guy like Jahlil Adai, who's not very good at tackling, and you turn on the tape of this guy, who's very sure tackling and is much more athletic, has much better speed and range than Jahlil Adai, it makes it an interesting prospect. But to me, I just don't think that if you drafted him to be a free safety, you would really be using him in the position that's best fit for him. I think if you're looking for a slot corner or a guy to put in an Adrian Phillips right type of role, you could make the argument for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. But the other thing with me, John, is I feel like with this pick, you wouldn't be getting the best available. And I think you'd be putting too much stock into your ability to take a player that has the tools to do something and make him really good at it.
I absolutely agree. If we were to get him, we're not even helping ourselves with position of need. Yeah, we need a free safety, but this is not helping the situation. After you get him, you're still going to need a free safety after the season's over because you're going to notice he doesn't fit that role. He can even be lost in space sometimes, just like Jahlil Adai when he's at safety. So you're not really fixing anything except for maybe a little bit of a tackling issue. Just maybe improving tackling. But you could literally get a defensive tackle or an offensive lineman and then get a safety in the next round and get more value without getting him in the first round. So I totally agree with you on that take. But I want to ask you this part of it, Wade. When you were watching tape, did you also happen to notice that when he would drop back, say like in a cover three or cover two back in his free safety in 2017 days, that he would take like a little bit too much of a drop back and you would see this nice glaring hole waiting there for a 20-yard gain?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that one thing the Chargers are familiar with is, 20-yard passing routes up the seam, which can be opened up by somebody taking too deep of a drop like that. But yeah, I did see that, and I think what went with that, John, and why he was able to get away with that some in college was just because of that recovery speed and his ability to kind of put his foot in the ground and go make a big hit somewhere. And I just don't know if you have that kind of wiggle room in the NFL to kind of be off a couple steps and be in that position.
You don't have that wiggle room. You will not be in position. In the NFL, the quarterback will see that right off the bat, or he will have studied that in game film, and he will hit that for even like a 10 or 12-yard gain and give his guy room to run and make you miss tackles. And you mentioned, he doesn't really do well tackling in open space. So if you're completing a 12-yard pass and then running towards him with open space, you just use two things that he's bad at against him, you could probably get a touchdown out of it. So you will not be good at that in the NFL.
Well, and I think to his credit, I don't want to totally take it away from him. This last season, he was much better at tackling in space, but most of the times it was wide receivers and running backs out of the backfield when he was playing in the slot. I think he improved on that, but we didn't get to see that. So I just don't know how you take him going off of his 2017 tape as a free safety and then looking at what he did last year and seeing how much he improved in his tackling and say, okay, well, that's, now he's much better at playing a high safety and taking good angles to be a sure tackler, because that's one thing we saw out of Jahlil Adai was taking bad angles out of that free safety position. Yes, this guy would still be an upgrade probably over Jahlil Adai because he's much more athletic. His timing is better, and he's just a better player, honestly, than Jahlil Adai was, and neither one of them is really fit for a free safety position. I think both of those guys are better near the line of scrimmage. So I think it's a reach for the Chargers to try to take Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, even though, yes, you see why people would be intrigued by him with the physical abilities, with the range that he has shown and the playmaking ability that he has. But sometimes playmaking ability isn't enough. And like you said, you need those fundamentals and you need to be able to play the position that is a huge need for the Chargers. And he might develop into a good safety, John. He might get the right coaching and develop into a good free safety. But the Chargers don't really have time to do that. It's a very steep learning curve in the NFL, especially for the safety position. You have to learn on the fly, especially when the Chargers are looking for a guy that can be an impact player right away. So you don't really have the time to try to transform a player like that with the athleticism and try to mold him into what you want when you're trying to win right now. But there's another position that's a really big need for the Chargers, and that is obviously the right tackle position, with Joe Barksdale being released last year and ending up on the Cardinals, and Sam Tevy just being an absolute mess on the right side. And one prospect that's popped up as a potential right tackle fit for the Chargers is Kansas State's Dalton Risner. So stay tuned for that coming up in the next segment. All right, John, it's time to get into our next draft profile for the Chargers' potential first-round pick in the 2019 draft. 28th overall. And I think this guy is a guy who's really intriguing, especially because of your huge positional need at right tackle. And that is Dalton Risner out of Kansas State. 6'5", 308 pounds. He looks the part of an offensive tackle, probably a little bit more than a guy like Cody Ford did that we talked about last time. And he has a lot to like, John, as far as offensive linemen. He has that nasty streak that you're looking for. A lot of draft experts see him being a mauling type of right tackle, but I was actually pretty impressed with his overall game and his pass protection as well. I don't know if the fit is here for the Chargers at 28, and I don't know if picking Dalton Risner at the 28th pick would mean you're getting the best value for that pick and you're not just reaching because it's a position of need. There was a lot to like, but at the same time, I still think it might be a little bit of a reach for the Chargers to get this guy at 28.
I would absolutely agree. There was so many things that I saw that make me think he's a liability, even though he could improve on them, yes. But like one of those things that I saw was he's pretty late coming out of his stance. He's kind of slow at reacting to the height. And in the NFL, they're going to take advantage of that. When you got guys like Von Miller on the outside, he's going to know that you're slow out of your stance, and he's going to time the snap just right and get outside you, and you've already lost that battle. He was really good at being able to get back and make up for that time that he lost coming out of his stance late because it was good for his footwork. And once he connected on that block, he was really good at that pass blocking block. But in the NFL, you can't rely on your ability to backpedal really fast and get back in front of that guy. In college, yeah, it works out pretty well. But in the NFL, I can't rely on that personally. He is really good when it comes to the bump and climb, which is basically when you double team the guard and bounce off and go to the linebacker to help the running back get a hole. He's really good at doing that. So if you're talking about run blocking here, that is something that we could use a lot of.
Yeah, I was impressed with the way he's able to get to the second level. And I think what a lot of people see when they watch Dalton Risner's tape is just his finishing ability. I mean, he sometimes just takes guys and drives them into the ground if he gets a good hold on them. But, I mean, that's if he gets a good hold on them. But I do think that he is a little bit shortchanged as far as pass protection. He is not going up against the best talent all of the time. But according to Pro Football Focus, he hasn't allowed a sack since week 5 of 2016. That's a pretty damn impressive stat for a tackle. And going up against good talent, he actually went up against a guy that's going to be a first-round pick in Mississippi State's Montez Sweat, and also a guy who, I mean, is freakishly athletic, even by NFL standards. I think he ran a low 4.4 40s for a defensive end, which is just absolutely insane. I mean, that guy's a freak, and I think he only allowed one pressure against Montez Sweat when they matched up against each other. So he has held up against some good talent. I don't think he always gets the credit that he deserves as a pass protector because, yes, he doesn't have that quick twitch ability to really explode out of his stance, but he does make up for it. And what he's really good at is staying in his base, staying low with his lower body and waiting for that defender to come to him before he explodes out of his stance and gets hands on people. I think that's something he does really well. And I think that he could potentially be a right tackle in the NFL. I know a lot of people already want to move him to guard, but I do think he has. Yeah, I mean, I do think he has the potential from what I saw to play tackle at the NFL. But when you see him playing in the Big 12, you don't always see him going up against the Alabamas and the elite defensive lines like in Clemson. So it's hard to tell how he would stack up against guys on the NFL level. But as far as what he did in college, he's been one of the most consistent linemen over the past four seasons. I think he's honestly an early second round pick. But when it comes to a guy like this, John, really, if you really like him, you have to pick him here. Because yes, you might not think that he deserves a first round grade, but realistically, he's not going to be around there at your second pick. So if the Chargers actually believe this guy can step in at right tackle and be the starter for the next 5 years on his rookie contract and play at an above average level, I'm not mad about the pick, but they have to be totally sure.
They do have to be sure. He is definitely a improvement for us over Sam Tevi and Joe Barksdale.
Yeah.
But you got to make sure that he is your answer for future situations as well. This is a first round pick. This is usually the pick that you put everything on to be that guy that you're going to market, that guy that's going to be the starter, that guy that you're going to count on for years that might end up getting a big contract. So you need to make sure that this is your guy, or else you're going to have another DJ Fluker situation where they play like 4 years and are gone because they're injured and they're not living up to their potential. So I agree with you. If they like him and they want him, you have to get him with the number one pick. When you were talking earlier about how he gets really good into his stance and will let the guys come to him, Wade, I want to ask you this. With him being late out of his stance and having to hurry up and get back to get in front of the guy that's pass rushing, does it worry you that he could also be liable to give up that inside counter move where, like, say Von Miller comes off the line really fast, and then when he notices Reisner is backing up to try to catch back up to Miller, he just cuts underneath and hits Rivers right away?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's kind of that hump move that, you know, Reggie White used a lot.
Or Dwight Freeney.
Dwight Freeney, yeah, with the spin. Yeah, Julius Peppers was also really good at that move. I mean, you usually see it from, you know, freakish athletes that can really get off the line and really cut back on you. And the one thing I would say against that is, yes, you would think that was a concern, but he did play against a guy that really focuses on the speed rush in Montez Sweat. And I thought he held up pretty well. He didn't see a lot of counter moves from him, but I think what he does is he doesn't usually get too far back. He has a pretty good sense of where the quarterback is in the pocket and really stays back. You don't see him get really off balance much in pass rushing sets, which I think is a huge bonus for him. You don't see him lunge too often. I did see it at times, but he was able to make up for it. But as far as that goes, John, I mean, maybe at the next level, if he's trying too hard and trying to get back faster than he needs to, I could see it being an issue. But I could see it being more of an issue of just getting beat with the speed rush off the end as opposed to getting beat on that hump move and trying to come back to the quarterback, because he stays in his position. He doesn't get caught off balance very often, which is what you see when players get beat on that move. They get all their momentum going backwards as fast as possible. They get off balance and they're easily pushed out of the way with a free lane to the quarterback. So I think with Phillip Rivers, you have a guy that's not going to be moving around too much back there, and you should have a pretty good sense of where he is. So he seems to have the football IQ to stay where he needs to be and not necessarily be super susceptible to a move like that.
I would agree with how he doesn't get too far back and he stays pretty disciplined to the quarterback when he backs up. But in the NFL, those guys are smart. They've seen it all. They have an idea of what they want to do. And I could just see somebody coming off the edge, even if it's not a speed rush, just somebody coming off the edge really fast. And Reisner gets caught in his back pedal just right. And someone just stops and cuts underneath him or pushes him out of the way. And now you have that clean, straight up forward shot to Rivers. And Rivers is not a running QB, so he's not going to escape out of the pocket and extend the play because you lost outside contain on him. You can take those kind of risks against a quarterback like Rivers. So that is something that bothers me. That is a worry I have.
Yeah, and I mean, I could see that. I'm not saying that's not going to happen, but when you have a quarterback like Phillip Rivers who likes to step up in the pocket, you know what you have to do as an offensive lineman. That still didn't make Sam Tevi and Joe Barksdale do it. But you know that if you can keep them on the outside and push them past Phillip Rivers, that will do the job as well, especially with how quick he likes to get rid of the ball. But he does have some shortcomings. He doesn't have super long arms. He's better at misdirecting people more than he is at driving them necessarily off the line of scrimmage, because he doesn't have that great burst off of the line. So there's definitely some downfalls to his game.
I also saw in that same game you were talking about against Sweat in the Mississippi State game. Did you watch the whole game?
Yeah, I did.
Did you notice that his footwork started getting slower too, like as if he was getting tired and fatigued from trying to keep up with Sweat the whole game?
Yeah, I mean, I could see how you could see that. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see the best footwork from him, but I thought he got the job done against a pretty good pass rusher.
Yeah, I started noticing that his footwork wasn't the same from the first snap as it was to the last snap, and I think that comes from being really fatigued and trying to keep up with sweat. So if you're in the NFL and sweat was your biggest challenge and that was making your footwork diminish, not to say that it was, but if you're going to put two and two together, I'd have to say that's what the reason was sweat was wearing him down. The NFL is going to wear you down even faster.
Yeah, but you're also getting the NFL offseason program, which is much different. And, I mean, people talk about that all the time, how much different that offseason program is for an NFL player as opposed to college. When you step on the field, most of the time you're a lot better than the guys you're going up against. That's not the case. So you're definitely right. He has to be able to come in and be able to keep up with that guys because there's a lot more of them in the NFL than there are in college. But there is one more guy on the defensive side of the ball that I want to talk about. One of the most exciting guys that I've watched so far, and that's Notre Dame defensive tackle Jerry Tillery coming up in the next segment. All right, John, now it's time to talk about the last prospect we have. But first, I want to tell you guys about the Locked On NFL Draft Show that's coming up. We are doing a full 32-team mock draft with all the Locked On experts on to talk about who they think their team is going to pick. So the Locked On Chargers will be playing the Chargers GM at the 28th pick. So we will have our own war room and decide with the guys that the other Locked On host pick who the Chargers would take at the 28th pick with the remaining guys available. So definitely look forward to that. That should be out in a few days, but it's going to be huge. You're going to get every Locked On Podcast Network show talking about who they think their team is going to pick in the first round and the rest of the Locked On experts to talk about why the fit makes sense or doesn't and give their thoughts on the matter as well. So definitely keep your eye out for that on the Locked On NFL Network coming up later on this week. But let's get into Jerry Tillery, the defensive tackle out of Notre Dame, and just one of the funnest guys to watch so far this season. And when you're talking about Tillery, you're talking about a guy who's coming off of his most successful season in 2018, where he seemed to really put it all together and become a dominant force rushing the passer on the inside. But John also plays very well against the run. I think one thing with Jerry Tillery is he doesn't really get the credit for being as good of an overall player as he was, but damn, he was fun to watch.
He was. This guy is so aggressive and athletic. It was so much fun to watch. It was like old school football all over again. The way he was able to use like a punch or a jab right off the snap to stun his defenders was just so fun to watch. And then he would blast through them. Oh, God. If we had a guy like this on the team, it would be money. It would be like, okay, you got rid of Filon to get this guy, make space for this guy. Okay, you know what? You might be off the hook just a little bit here, Telesco. The athleticism that he shows for his size is just absolutely ridiculous. And if you get him in the first round at our pick, I think he would be a steal personally. I think he should be going earlier up. I know you mentioned to me earlier, Wade, that he had shoulder surgery and that he could go to the mid-second rounds, but this guy, to me, is honestly a top 20 pick. Just the fact that he ran a 4.9340 at his size of 295 pounds at 6'6" is just amazing. So if we get him, we would help the run so much, and I think he could be help in the pass as well. You could literally take Meebane out of the equation. Meebane could just be your backup locker room emotional leader, and you could have Tillery take all of his snaps for the most part. And this would be an immediate upgrade on this team. This is probably the best pick we've gone over so far, in my opinion.
I think in my opinion that it is. I mean, we haven't talked about a lot of the guys that could potentially drop. I mean, last year we didn't really talk about Derwin James as an option in the first round because nobody in their right mind thought he was going to drop to the Chargers at 17. So we didn't really talk about him as a potential pick. And for me to see today that both Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. having in the mid-second rounds, even though he's going to be out for only about 3 to 4 months, it's not like Jeffrey Simmons out of Mississippi State, who has a serious injury and might actually miss time in the regular season. This guy will be back in time to get in most of the important stuff in the offseason. I think, you know, it might not get Brandon Mebane totally off the field, John, because I think Brandon Mebane still slots in at that one technique where he's kind of the space eater on the inside. And then you have Jerry Tillery to be that pass rushing force like Darius Filon played, because Darius Filon and Brandon Mebane found themselves on the field a lot last year. But you feel a lot better about Brandon Mebane's lack of pass rushing ability when you have a guy like this that has, I mean, so many of the tools to be a dominant inside pass rusher. But the one thing that
put so many in caps, because he literally has so many.
He really does. And I mean, he has a couple really dominant pass rush moves that he goes to. I think the crazy part is to me, John, and the knock on this guy is some inconsistency. I did see on a good amount of plays where he does run straight into the offensive lineman. He misses with his hands and doesn't get the leverage he needs to execute the move he wants to, and then kind of gets caught up in the line and doesn't really make a huge impact, but does find a way to usually try to get his hands up in a passing lane. But to talk about, hey, this guy didn't even really play fully consistently, and this is what he was able to do, that is a crazy thought to me.
I noticed that too. And even as you said, even when he missed his move, whether it was his club or the swipe or whatever it was that he was trying to use, he would get caught up and still put a hand up in the passing lane, which how many Chargers defenders do that? They'll grab onto their block they couldn't get through, and they just stand there waiting for the ball to pass, and you're watching linebackers make tackles going, that was a low thrown ball. Why don't we just stick a hand up and knock it down like Filon was doing? Filon was knocking down passes sometimes, but nobody else would put a hand up at the defensive line. We have a guy here who, when he screws up 100% and make sure he at least is going to knock down the pass. But you're right. He is really inconsistent lots of times, but you can fix inconsistent with something as far as using hand movements. Yeah, he didn't get his hand movements through because he was going all or nothing, but a coach can fix that.
They can fix that, and it's honestly mostly just with that hand placement and getting his hands in the right place, because if he gets his hands on you, the length that he has, his ability to lock out offensive linemen and then get into his pass rush set is so fun to watch. I mean, he does those quick swipe moves off the line of scrimmage. He gets into his defender, knocks their arms aside, and literally pulls people onto the ground. I saw that on multiple occasions. Gets in, locks the defender out, uses their forward momentum to throw them onto the ground and get into the backfield. And one of the best stats that I saw, John, that I was talking to you before about is something that doesn't even show up on a normal stat sheet. And that was when I was looking at him on Pro Football Focus, they attributed him with 32 pass rush wins that didn't end up being a pressure, you know, off quick passes and things like that, where he's winning his one-on-one matchup and he's not even getting credit for a pressure, which is something that's crazy. He wins just under 20% of every pass rush set that he has, which is crazy when you think about how often teams in the league like to throw the ball. So his ability to win one-on-one matchups really, to me, is just a game changer. And even when he gets double teamed, I thought he did a good job of anchoring against the run and not getting pushed, you know, 3 yards into the defensive backfield like we've seen with some of the current Chargers, where they're just getting washed off the line. And a lot of times he can split that double team and still get into the play. You know, some of the downside, he does sometimes get caught up in the wash on down blocks and lets offensive linemen that are nowhere near as good as him kind of maneuver him out of the hole, even though he's beating them, he's beating him the way that they want him to and kind of getting himself out of the play. But I would be ecstatic if the Chargers sprung to either get him in the first round or trade up in the second round if they take somebody else in the first round to get him in the second round if he really drops that far.
And to go to your point about when he gets pushed away by the offensive line, he also gets pushed on the floor a lot more than you would like to see as well. This is a guy who, when he misses on that hand movement or when he gets washed up, he gets out of position. He gets thrown on the floor. I saw one time where it looked like he made himself fall on the floor on purpose so that he would. So basically, he'd be off the block, and he got back up and started chasing down the running back. He didn't make the tackle.
I think I saw that.
Yeah, I don't think he made the tackle, if I remember correctly, but he started chasing down the running back because there was no way he was going to get out of that block. So he fell on purpose, got back up, and chased down the running back, which is an IQ move, really. It, when you know you've lost, you completely lose, and you get back up and try to win again. So he is on the floor a lot, but I'm wondering if it's all strategy and sometimes if it's just he got outmaneuvered by his own move and got thrown on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I did see a play where on one play he got beat off the initial snap, that had the offensive lineman get his hands on him, and then he fell down to one knee and got back up faster than a 300-pound guy should be able to do and got involved in the play. And I think that's the biggest thing is the inconsistencies in his game, whether it's getting, you know, washed out of a block or getting his pad level too high, is he still works extremely hard. It's not as if he's just taking plays off, in my opinion. I don't think that effort is the question with him. Sometimes, like you said, sometimes his footwork can't keep up with his pass rushing skills. I mean, really is what it comes down to. His footwork could definitely improve. But as far as what his repertoire is in the way that he gets into offensive linemen and then has ways to make moves off of that is super impressive. But I would like to see him be able to, if he does get stuck like that, have better counter moves to get out of it on a more consistent basis. But that's all things that can be worked on. And I think that's the exciting thing with him is it's not just that he is a raw prospect. He's a raw prospect that's still been putting up results with good technique and good moves. So yes, there are some things for him to learn, but at the same time, even with those flaws, he was still able to be one of the best interior pass rushers in the college football last year. And I'm really surprised to not see the hype around this guy that I think that he deserves.
Yeah. There's not really much hype at all around him. They're more worried about guys like Dexter Lawrence and Christian Wilkins and Montez Sweat. But here's Jerry Tillery, who could be one of the most athletic defensive linemen in the league. And if you look around the league, most of the defensive linemen / 4-3 linebackers that are the top ones are the really athletic ones that are taking over the league right now. They're not really seeing as many of those really big guys like a Jamal Williams type of guy taking over the league anymore. So if you can get an athletic guy at the defensive tackle, nose tackle position, you could literally start catching up in this league. And by doing that, you're going to win the Super Bowl at some point with Rivers under QB. But this is just one hole that we're fixing here. But it's a big step to the Super Bowl if you get a guy like this in the first round.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, one of the guys that he actually reminds me of a little bit is a guy in Chris Jones with the Chiefs who absolutely tore up the NFL last year. And they had 9 or 10 games in a row with the sack. Their size is comparable. Their pass rush moves are comparable, and a guy that ended up dropping to the second round. And his combine numbers, Tillery, that is, are actually better than Chris Jones when he was coming out of college. So I see a lot of similarities. You've seen another player like Stephon Tuitt with the Steelers come in from Notre Dame playing the same type of competition and come in and do well almost immediately. And he's very good and has become one of the better interior guys in the NFL. So I think that this transition for him going from a 3-4 to a 4-3 is actually going to help him a lot and let him play that 3 technique. I think that's where he's best fit. And whoever gets Jerry Tillery, if they use him the right way, could be getting one of the steals of the draft, because this is a guy that when he puts it all together and when he's on and when he gets his hands on people and starts executing those moves, he's a lot of fun to watch. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We did go a little long, but I mean, I think you can tell that's just because of how excited we get talking about some of these guys. I think this is one of the better shows that we've had, especially about the draft. We got a lot of good insight on these guys, John. That was a good conversation we had about these guys. And on the next show, we'll do a few more guys the Chargers could potentially take with the 28th pick, because unfortunately, they're not calling us up to make these decisions. But make sure you are looking out for that show on the Locked On NFL Network with host Matt Williamson doing a full first-round mock draft, and you will get who we think the Chargers will pick with the first round. in a real draft situations where we get to play the Chargers GM and look at the guys that are already off the board and make the best player available part of the Chargers. So we're excited to do that. Keep a lookout for that later on in the week. And until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. We're almost to 1,000 Twitter followers. And once we hit that, I plan on doing a giveaway for our listeners and for our fans. So definitely, you know, like and retweet the show so we can hit that 1,000 follow mark and get, do that giveaway. And like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, and subscribe to us on Himalaya, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. And also to tell us who you want to pick in the draft and tell us your thoughts on who we think should be picked in the first round of the draft. Make sure to call the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. We play every voicemail on the show, so make sure you get your voice on the show and tell us what you think. But we will talk to you guys later. Can't wait to get into some more draft coverage with you. But thanks again for listening. Take it easy and go Bolts.